Hari Om. I hope all of you can hear me. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Om. Param Varishtam Brahmishtam Paramananda Rupinam Paramartananda Yatim Sadgurum Pranatosnyaham. So, in the seventh chapter, we are actually seeing the most important topic of Ishvara Swarupam and Bhagavan, which was introduced as Ishvara as a mixture of Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. So, basically, Paraprakriti meaning the changeless consciousness and the changing matter, both of them are formless originally. This formless, changeless consciousness and the formless changing matter, this mixture is Ishvara, right? So, this mixture of Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti alone evolves into the creation. So, we saw the Panchabhutas getting formed, all the lokas, all the physical bodies, all the minds, they're all nothing but evolutes of Aparaprakriti, because whatever is changing, right? You might remember, we also used the acronym CAD, right? Changing with attributes and with divisions. So, changing is Aparaprakriti. And we also noted that Paraprakriti does not evolve into anything, but it seems to be seemingly getting divided into two. The inner consciousness and the external consciousness. Bahya and Antara. We also saw an example so that we remember better. We said, when the pot is made, there is space that is enclosed within the pot and also the space which is already there outside in the all-pervading space, right? So, it only seems to be seemingly divided. So, one all-pervading consciousness is now available in all the bodies, right? Inside our bodies. Bodies are like the pots, right? So, thus, in every one of the body, consciousness is available without change, without attributes, without division, right? And the same consciousness is available outside also, right? So, C means change, A means attribute, and B means division. So, consciousness is without change, without attributes, and it is also all-pervading. As I said, Bahya Chaitanyam and Antara Chaitanyam. The Antara is the one that is inside, right? So, Lord Krishna said that the entire creation is a mixture of the changing matter and the changeless consciousness. Every individual is also a mixture of Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. The physical body that is changing will come under Aparaprakriti, right, of the Lord, and this body is pervaded by what? Consciousness, the all-pervading consciousness, right? One second, it is saying there is some problem with the, okay, if any of you have a problem with the transmission, please do send me a note, because there is a message here which is talking about slow network connection, but I am just going to continue. Okay. So, thus Lord Krishna said that the entire creation is a mixture of changing matter and changeless consciousness, right? So, the consciousness in the body is called Paraprakriti. In the mind also, this is very important. The thoughts are also continuously changing. But thought is subtle, right? Thought is not gross, you don't see, right? Now, the changing thoughts are also apara prakriti. That is what we need to remember. Well, I am also aware of the changing thoughts. But awareness principle is what is constant across the body, across the creation, which is para prakriti. Because the thoughts are changing, that is also apara prakriti only. Right? Thoughts arrive and depart. Consciousness by itself does not arrive and depart. Right? Because it is witnessing all the arrivals and departures. Right? So the non-arriving, non-departing, changeless, stationary consciousness is para prakriti, which witnesses all the arriving and departing thoughts, which is apara prakriti. Right? This concept is very, very important. And it is totally new because this concept we don't come across in any of the subjects that we study, whether it is science or maths or any of them, right? Very subtle kind of topic, right? So anything changing is apara, anything changeless is para. So Lord Krishna says, the entire universe is a mixture of consciousness and matter, para and apara prakriti. Therefore, the entire creation is my own manifestation only. And when Bhagavan says that, the wise student always remembers that Bhagavan is claiming the higher status, which is the para prakriti, right? So just as one gold appears in the form of varieties of ornaments, one wood appearing as multiple furniture, one Ishvara alone is appearing in the form of the things and beings. Therefore, sarvam Ishvara mayam jagat, right? So, other than ornaments, gold is not there, right? The gold ornaments are not there. Essentially, they are all gold only, right? So, other than God, there is no creation at all. And the creation itself is the first avatara. Not kurma, matsya, etc. It is basically creation itself as the first avatara. So, the world is Vishwarupa Ishwaraha. Therefore, from the 7th chapter onwards, Lord Krishna wants to train Arjuna. He wants to give a special training. So when he is addressing Arjuna, he is also addressing all of us. What is that special training that Krishna is trying to impart? Don't look at the world as world, thinking that there is some other God sitting somewhere beyond in the clouds and we have to reach that God in Kailasha or Vaikuntha, etc. Learn to look at the universe as the Vishwarupa Ishvara. All our Vedic prayers are meant for what? For training the mind, right? If you look at Purusha system, right? The most famous system, it starts with this. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshaha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishwato Vritvatya Tishti Drishambulam, right? 1000-headed is the Purusha. 1000-eyed and 1000-legged, enveloping the earth from all sides. He transcends it by 10 fingers length. This is the meaning. Now, if you don't understand what is being communicated, you will only look at it and wonder, what is this 1000-eyed and 1000-legged, etc. The communication here is, the Lord pervades in the form of the entire creation. All the heads, hands, legs that we see everywhere, they are all the head of the Lord. The hands of the Lord only, thousands of heads. So all Vishwarupa Ishwara's head, right? If you look at Sri Rudra, now Purusha system is more Vishnu, Mahavishnu. Now if you look at Sri Rudra, another famous Vedic mantra, right? Asayastramra aruna uta bhavuhu sumangalaha eche marudra abhito dikshu shritaha sahashrovai vaisha veda imahe, right? Now I am not chanting Purusha Suttam and Sri Rudram because people may want to chant, may not want to chant, but traditionally, due to the vibrations involved, some of these have not been chanted by women, right? But there is no restriction on listening to it, right? There is no, absolutely no restriction. There are people who also chant. It is a matter of personal choice, right? So, in Sri Rudram, it is talked about, he is red in color, he is more red in color, he is golden, He gives rise to good things. He is the Rudra, who is the sun. And so we know before thousands of Rudras who have spread in all directions and request them to cool themselves down. Basically, what we are talking about here, right? It is when we say, see the sunrise, we are demonizing the sunrise, right? The Pratyaksha Ishwara. Pratyaksha means visible to the sense organ. The Pratyaksha Ishwara, I think I even mentioned earlier, that we see in front of us, which makes us revere, is the sun god, right? Pratyaksha Ishwara, who comes up in the morning, right? So, when you learn to divinize the world, you learn to revere everything. So, this is called Pratyaksha Ishwara Darshanam. In the beginning, we learn to think of God as staying in Vaikuntha, in Kailasha, behind the clouds, etc. Then, and we think we have to do tapas to invite God, etc. Right? Then, we have to start with Paroksha Ishwara. Paroksha Ishwara means sitting at a distance, not visible to the sense organs. Right? Somewhere he is there. And we pray to that God, please come and bestow your blessings, etc. From there, we go to, from Paroksha Ishwara, Bhagavan himself, Lord Krishna, is teaching us to move to Pratyaksha Ishwara in the form of the nature around us, in the form of the creation around us. Right? We learn to appreciate the Pratyaksha Ishwara, who is not the arriving God, but the arrived God in the form of Vishwarupa Ishwara Darshanam. Right? So, Paroksha Ishwara to Pratyaksha Ishwara, in simple terms, is the chapter journey from 7th chapter onwards, right? So, he's going to continuously talk about this, and only in the 11th chapter, Arjuna understands Lord Krishna's message, and with the grace of Lord Krishna, Arjuna has the Vishwarupa Ishwara Darshanam in the 11th chapter, okay? So, where for a bhakta, everything is sacred, right? So, first we should see everything wonderful as the sacred Bhagavan. That is how the journey starts, right? Everything wonderful is sacred. Then we have to equate to neutral things. You, me, etc. And then we also look at everything that is unfavorable also as Bhagavan. Our aging body, right? The calamities that fall. All of them we start looking at as Ishwara Srishti, Ishwara himself, right? So, health is Ishwara, disease is Ishwara, good, bad, sarvam Ishwara mayam, right? Therefore, O Lord, I will accept birth also, I will accept in the same way death also. I will accept profits, I will also accept loss. I will accept manam, I will accept apamanam. I will accept association, I will accept dissociation also. We all came together sometimes, at some point in time or different points in time. One day, the same Kala that brought all of us together at some points in time will make sure that people, everyone including us, will go away. Right? So, everything is God's play. Learn to objectively accept the facts of the creation. This is what Sri Krishna is telling us. So, the creation is a mixture of opposites. Right? The sacred ones as well as what may not be really sacred in your eyes, right? Good and bad things. This is the training Lord Krishna wants to give hereafter. So what is it called? Divinization of the world, otherwise called Vishwarupa Ishwara Darshanam, right? So Lord Krishna gives a little bit training in 7th chapter, then some more in 9th chapter, then more training in 10th chapter. 10th chapter, almost every verse, every part of the verse is this, right? And then in the full-fledged training in the 11th chapter, wonderful verses. Some verses in the 11th chapter are so good and they are so nice for us to every day actually chant during our prayer. When we come to that, we will learn that. So, it is a gradual training program. So, let us see how Lord Krishna is going to progress.
Rasohamapsu kaunteya, prabhasnishashi suryayoho, pranavas sarva vedeshu,
Shabdakhe paurusham rishu. So, Lord Krishna wants to convey a message, right? He wants to convey this message that the cause of the entire universe is Ishvara and the entire universe is a product of Ishvara. So in Sanskrit it is called, the cause is Karanam and products are called Karyam, right? So Karyam means a product, right? Ishvara is Ekam Karanam, that one Karanam alone which is manifesting in the form of various Karyam. Eka Karanam, Aneka Karyam. Okay? So, the second message, this is the first message. The second message that Ishvara wants to give is, since Ishvara is the Karanam and Karanam alone expresses in the form of varieties of Karyam, right? Just as gold alone appears in the form of all ornaments, gold is the Saram, right? Essence of all the ornaments. Saram of all earthenwares is nothing but earth. Similarly, the saram of the entire universe is Ishvara, right? So the second is Ishvara is the essence of the entire creation. First is Ishvara alone manifests as the entire universe, and now Ishvara alone is the sara of the entire creation. Now the third lesson, right? Now, without the Karanam, the Karyams cannot exist. Without gold, ornaments cannot exist. Without wood, furniture cannot exist. So, without God, world cannot exist. God alone lends existence to the Karyam, right? God alone lends existence to this world, right? So, God is there anywhere and everywhere. Without God, world cannot exist, right? So these three important corollaries for now are very, very important, essential ones, right? So, vasoham apsu, right? Apsu means water. The water has got its own unique taste, right? I have never thought about it until I actually listened to Swamiji's lecture on this. Water apparently has all the taste put together in it. Inside the water, exactly like white light has vipyar in it. The same water has all the taste, whether it is bitterness, whether it is sweetness, any of the taste, okay, or whether it is salty, any of them. Now, when the particular substance comes in contact with the water or the saliva in the mouth, then that particular taste manifests. Because all the tastes are enclosed in the water or the saliva itself, right? This is according to Shastra. So, the unique taste of water is the mixture of all the tastes put together, right? Exactly like vidyar, right? So, the sweetness of the sugar does not belong to the sugar, but it is belonging to the water alone in the tongue. It is manifesting as the sweetness in the sugar, right? Similarly, it is very obvious when you have this, amla or nellika, gooseberry, right? So, the taste manifests when you bite it and have. So, different kinds of taste are all contained within water, right? So, the water alone has all the taste. So, rasam, all rasams put together is in water, right? So, Lord Krishna says, that taste of water, which is the essence of water, is nothing but myself. Very important message here, right? So, when you are extremely thirsty and when you are enjoying water, right, this thirst can be quenched only by water. Not juice, not Coca-Cola, not Pepsi, not anything. You are longing for just water, right? So, Bhagavan is in the form of water, right? So, rasoham apsu. I am the taste in the water. Specifically, Krishna says, I am the taste in the water, Kaunteya, O Arjuna. Right? And Prabha asmi Shashi Surya Yoho. Prabha asmi Shashi Surya Yoho. Essence of sun and moon through the light. So, I am the light in the Shashi and Suryaha, right? So, that is why in our culture, every day sunrise is what? Worshipping time, right? Now, we have, you know, forgotten all of that. But the fundamental lesson of Vedic culture is we should get up either during or preferably before the sunrise, right? We also had an English proverb, early to rise and early to bed makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise, right? But nowadays we don't practice that, but Hindu culture requires us to get up early in the morning and revere Surya Bhagavan, right? Pratyaksha Ishvara. And for every Paurnami also we had festivals, functions, etc., right? So reverence to creation is Hinduism. We learn from Bhagavad Gita. Pranavaha Sarva Vedeshu. We are supposed to start the day with Pancha Maha Yajnaha and Brahma Yajnaha, right? One of the Pancha Maha Yajnaha. We start the day with the prayer. What is that? Samudra Vasane Devi. After Karagre Vasati Lakshmi, we say, when we are going to put our foot, feet down on the floor, we say, Samudra Vasane Devi, Parvatasthana Mandale, Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam Padastarsham Shamaswame. Even dancers chant this before they start dancing, right? Oh Mother Earth, draped by the oceans, adorned with mountains and jungles, the concert of Lord Vishnu, I go to you, forgive me for stepping upon you with my feet, right? So our, the Hindu way of life is beginning with prayers, right? So prayer which is the glorification of the Lord. And Veda mantras are large in numbers and people don't have time. So at least they say, chant the Gayatri mantra, right? Which is a very small, right, set of three lines or something, right? So it is so simple, the condensed Gayatri mantra. Even that has been condensed further into Om or Pranava mantra, right? So remember at least that form of chanting Om, remembering the Lord, right, before we all get to start seeing our cell phones, right? So Pranavaha Sarva Vedeshu. So in all the Vedas, the Sara with essence is Omkara, right? Pranavaha means Omkaraha. That Omkara is Bhagavan, right? In Taittiriya Upanishad also there is a Omkara Upasana talked about. Very interesting Upasana, right? And then Shabdaha Khe. The essence of Akasha is supposed to be Shabdaha. For those of you who know a little bit of Sanskritam, Khe is Saptami Vibhakti of Kham. Kham is Akasha, right? So actually my request is, if you get interested in Sanskritam as you learn Gita, please do, you know, you have the facility of joining one of the courses that is already recorded and available, you can join in and learn, pick up a little bit of Sanskritam also. Then you will start, you know, enjoying this more, right? So K is basically Saptami Vibhakti. So the essence of Akasha is supposed to be Shabdaha. So if you remember Tattva Bodha, we saw this elaborately. Akasha has got one property, Shabdaha. Vayu has got two properties, Shabdaha and Sparshaha, right? Touch and sound, right? Agni has got Shabda, Sparsha and Rupa form also. Jalam has got Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa as well as the taste, right? Prithvi has got Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, right? So sound is supposed to be the attribute of Akasha. Therefore, the sound in Akasha exists in the form of Omkara, Avyakta Shabda, right? Like Vidyar is included in white color and tastes are included in the taste of water. All sounds of the alphabet in the language is condensed into one Omkara Shabdaha, which is always there in the atmosphere, right? If you just keep your hand in the ears, they say you can actually hear Avyakta Omkara. Nowadays there's so much of noise around us that we are not even able to enjoy this kind of a silence. Anahata Shabdaha Omkara alone, right? So one Omkara in the Akasha manifests as all the basic sounds, right? Shabdaha. Pranava Shabdaha Khe. means in the akasha, that is also myself, right? I am that pranava shabdaha in akasha. Finally, paurusham rishu, right? Paurusham means the essential nature of human beings, right? The humanness, that is the essence of the human being, that also I am, Bhagavan says, right? So, it is nothing but the self-consciousness or self-awareness and the free will, the capacity to be clearly aware of oneself as an individual. Animals do not have this well-defined self-awareness. We saw that, right? So they don't know that, you know, they are getting first prize, second prize, third prize, etc., right? So human being alone has this full-fledged advantage, right? And because of that advantage, they also develop complex of superiority, etc., because of the humanness in the human janma, right? And also comes samsara in hidden form, the problems associated with human manifestation, right? The free will you enjoy is also my own manifestation only. We say, Bhagavan is saying, right? Krishna, O Arjuna, I am the taste in water, I am the radiance in the moon and sun, I am the Omkara in all the Vedas, I am the sound in space, and I am the basically humanness in human being, right?
Punyo ganda prithivyam cha, punyo ganda prithivyam cha, tejaschasmi vibhavasau, tejaschasmi vibhavasau, jivanam sarvabhuteshu, jivanam sarvabhuteshu, tapaschasmi tapasvishu, tapaschasmi tapasvishu.
After talking about akasha and jalam and agni tattvam, now Lord Krishna comes to prithvi tattvam. Prithvi is the source of all types of smell, right? The original smell of earth is very sacred and very pleasant. I'm sure we have experienced this sometime in our lifetime. When the first rain comes, the smell, right, in Tamil they say mandasani. The first smell is a beautiful smell, that's the smell of prithvi. Nowadays in the city we don't even get that smell because there is so much garbage around that and pollution around that, right? Punya gandaha, the sacred, fragrant, original smell of the earth, which makes the earth earth. That essential smell also, O Arjuna, it does not belong to the earth. It belongs to me, the apara prakriti, maya only. Punyo gandaha prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavasau means agni tattvam. Vibhavasau means agni tattvam, right? Agni is supposed to be expressed in three different forms. In agni tattvam, another is surya tattvam, another is chandra tattvam. That is why Bhagavan is described as Surya Chandra Agni Lochanaha. In many Ashtottara Namavalis, you get this. Surya Chandra Agni Lochanaha. They're all brilliant principles capable of illuminating the object for our perception. During the day, Surya illumines. During the Purnami night, Chandra illumines. During the Amavasya night, both are not available. Then what do we have to use? We use Agni Tattvam, right? The brilliance illumining power belongs to me only. Therefore, we have to actually read what all together. The earlier verse also, we have to join together and then read Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Tejasmi Vibhavato of this shloka. Then we get all the three tattvams which belong to me. Right? Vibhavato means Agnihi and Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu. The very life principle because of which all the physical bodies are now alive and capable of doing all anatomical functions. The hand is moving up, the leg is able to fold, the physical body is a sacred body. Right? We take care of it, we decorate it, right? We go for haircuts, we go to the beauty parlor, etc. They're all sacred. Shivaha means auspicious. Why? Because of the pranatattvam in that. That pranatattvam is I, Lord Krishna is saying. And Shivaha means auspicious. Now, the auspicious body minus the life becomes what? Shavaha, the corpse. So, Shivaha is auspicious, right? And Shavaha is the corpse. Now, when the pranatattva disappears, nobody will accommodate this. The body is transported in cargo. We don't even treat it as he, she, etc., right? So, we will no more say he is coming, she is coming, etc. We say it is coming in the cargo, right? Very sad. So, in fact, Shankaracharya says in Bhajagovindam, right? Yavat parano nivasati dehe, tavat prichati kushalam dehe, gatavati vayau deha paye, bharya vidyati tasmin kaye. When one is alive, his family members inquire kindly about his welfare. But when that soul departs from the body, Atma Tattvam departs from the body, even his wife, Bharya, Vidyati Tasmin Kaye, his wife runs away in fear of the corpse and arranges for the cremation immediately. Bhajagovindam is a very, very powerful set of verses when you understand the meaning and, you know, are able to appreciate, right? So, this Jivanam, the life principle, which makes the body alive, is me, O Arjuna, Krishna is telling. So Lord Krishna is telling that, and therefore he says, we should think a lot before killing any living being. We can never create life, however advanced we may be, right? There are so many statues in the Marina Beach. We cannot bring them to life, right? So, in all the Upanishads, the importance of prana, the life upasana is prescribed, and we are prescribing vegetarianism for this purpose, right? So, in vegetarianism, which also some critics critic, we pluck vegetables, but we don't destroy a plant for that, right? So, therefore, respect any life anywhere, right? If you want to save yourself from mosquitoes, they also try to see if we can use something to ward off the mosquitoes, and also maybe nets, rather than killing them. Right? So, even if you want to save yourself, try and not kill, right? Is what Bhagavan is also advocating, because I am that pranatattvam, Bhagavan is telling, right? So, life is Bhagavan, therefore, sarva bhuteshu jivanam, right? In villages, I believe before they cut a tree, they will first do a mantra for asking forgiveness for cutting the tree, and then they will also plant 5 or 10 trees. Instead of that one tree, right? Therefore, the plants which do not have manaha also, the tree, has pranatattvam in it, right? So, therefore, we have to revere, right? Therefore, jivanam, right? I am the life in every living being, and tapaschasmi tapasvishu. In the scripture, they talk about several sages who have done lot of tapas, and they become adorable. And if a saint is adorable, it is not because of his glory, but it is the tapas shakti. And I am that tapas shakti, Krishna is saying. Right? Therefore, tapasvi in the austere people, I exist in the form of austerity. Right? So, Krishna is saying, I am all of these, right? Which is the higher nature of Bhagavan. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam, bijam mam sarva bhutanam, bijam mam sarva bhutanam, vidyaparta sanatanam, vidyaparta sanatanam, buddhir buddhimatamasmi, buddhir buddhimatamasmi, tejas tejasvi namaham, Tejas Tejasvi Namaham. So why does Lord Krishna say I am in everything and in every being? Lord Krishna keeps reminding us, right, that Bhagavan is the Karanam and everything is Karyam, right? Very, very important. I am the Karanam, therefore he remains. He Arjuna, Vidhi Partha, right? Know that, right? May you register, may you assimilate this principle. Aham sarva bhutanam bijam asmi. I am the basic fundamental cause. Bijam means seed, right? Right? The clay is the cause of verb and verb. Thread is the cause of fabric, right? The word sarva is significant. Sarva bhutana. Time and space inclusive. All the objects inclusive. I am that, right? Mam viddi, know me, right? Lord Krishna is not talking here as Sri Krishna or Mr. Krishna, right? Or Vasudeva Krishna, no, right? He is not talking about the personal God. He is talking about the Paraprakriti, right? The Paraprakriti, which is without CAD, without change, attributes and division, right? May you note, right? Up to the 12th chapter, I will keep reminding you, right? In 13th chapter also, he will remind, right? He will keep on reminding that I, the Krishna Shariram, is consciousness plus matter called Karana Ishwaraha. In fact, we have a temple in Chennai, inside of it, called the Karana Ishwara temple. Very beautiful name, indicating that Ishwara is the Karanam of this world, right? Karana Ishwara, right? So, Sanatanam, Sarva Bhutanam Vidhi Partha Sanatanam, which is eternal, because even during Pralaya, right, which you all are in the habit of chanting, Bhāli Mukundashtakam, Vatasya Patrasya Puteshayanam, Bhālam Mukundam Manasasmarami. Even when all the Pancha Bhūtas are resolved, Lord Krishna is there in the form on the bay leaf, right? The banyan leaf, basically, right? Alala leaf, the banyan leaf, right? So, that leaf represents Aparaprakriti. Lord Krishna represents Paraprakriti. Therefore, the symbolism of Para and Apara Prakriti in the form of the cute little Krishna on the banyan leaf. That is the significance, right? Therefore, Buddhir Buddhir Matamasmi, if there are intelligent people who get all kinds of rewards and awards, we are going to, you know, we celebrate Ramanujan's birthday, we celebrate Nobel laureates, etc. He is very clearly saying that superior intelligence is also me only, right? So we will, just as no body, right, celebrate, like we sort of celebrate the person in the body for, you know, his birthday or for his intelligence, etc. So God is reminding us that I am that principle, right? So X is, why is he famous? Because of superior intelligence, or he is famous because of something he has achieved. So, Lord Krishna is reminding that all those glories belong to me only, right? I should surrender to the Lord, remembering that, O Lord, this is your glory. That the following six chapters are so important to remove what? Ahankara and Mamakara. I and mine. I am great. My son is great. My daughter is great. My family is great. Right? I am intelligent. All, whatever good, bad, ugly, everything. Right? So, Ahankara, Mamakara removal is the primary purpose of these six chapters. Right? So, once we remove the Ahankara and Mamakara, what we say, Chitta Shuddhi happens. Bhagavan is available everywhere, all the time, in and through all our transactions. Right? Antar Bahishcha Sat. Sarvam Vyapi Narayana Sthitaha. Right? Sarvam Vyapi Narayana Sthitaha. So, for the Bhakta who has studied these six chapters and removed this Ahankara and Mamakara, the mature Bhakta, Tejasvi Tejasvi Namaham. I am the boldness or courage due to which a person is able to achieve many, many things. Right? As Bhaktivari says, many people, I believe, don't start anything because they are afraid of failure, right? So, risk-taking itself, they are scared. They don't undertake anything and they say, I have never failed in my life, right? So, now you have to do something and then you have to be, you should not be scared of the failure, right? So, the bold and courageous people are those who, in spite of repeated obstacles, they move on, right? The saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. The toughness of the tough because with which they move on and succeed in any undertaking. That boldness, again, does not belong to the person, right? But it belongs to me, right? Very, very important. So, Bhagavan is Ananta Kalyana Guna Ganeshcha Nilayaha. Therefore, boldness in the bold, in the people, I am, right? The boldness in the bold people, I am. O Arjuna, know me to be that eternal seed of all beings, and I am the intelligence of the intelligent, I am the boldness of the bold. The entire 10th chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga, and we'll be talking about all of God's glories, right? So we will see that anyway when we come to the 10th chapter. Continuing. Balam Balavatam Chaham, Balam Balavatam Chaham, Kamaraga Vivarjitam, Kamaraga Vivarjitam, Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu, Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu, Kamosmi Bharatarshaba, Kamosmi Bharatarshaba. Now the reading is slightly different in some of the books. Balam Balavatam Asmi. In certain books, it is Balam Balavatam Chaham. So I have used Balam Balavata Chaham here. It can also read Balam Balavatam Asmi. Both readings are equally okay. The meaning is the same. In Chaham, it is Cha Aham, and Asmi also means I am. Therefore, I am the power of the powerful people. Wherever there is, you know, power, you have some amount of orderliness. Even in teams, right? All the teams work, why? Because you have somebody who can lead the team, right? So, the body also needs to function in coordination, right? So, the leader of the body is what? The head, right? So, how many heads should be there? Only one head, right? Imagine if there are two heads. One head will say, go home. Another one will say, go to the shop, right? It's a problem. So, therefore, any team, right, requires a powerful leader who can keep things together. So, there should be one power center, right? Now, there is a problem with power. While it is good, it is also bad. Why? Because it can develop into selfishness. It can also get corrupted and it can end up in kama and raga. Desire as well as attachment. Kama meaning greed, raga meaning attachment. So when the powerful leader is polluted by, contaminated by selfishness consisting of kama and raga, the power destroys, right? So we have a problem. Corrupt power destroys society, whereas selfless power, noble power is very good for the entire kingdom, right? Therefore, the Lord here is very careful. He says, I am the unpolluted, uncorrupted power, wherever it is. Therefore, he adds here, Kama Raga Vivarjitam, right? Very important. Kama Raga Vivarjitam means selfless or uncorrupted power. Not only that, Aham, Bhuteshu Kamosmi, right? This is also very important. Kamaha or desire is also considered to be divine faculty given by the Lord, because any power comes from the Lord, because the God is omnipotent, right? Therefore, any Shakti is an expression of the Lord only, right? Example, Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, we spoke about it earlier also, right? And one Shakti is called Maya Shakti, Apara Prakriti Shakti, and called Ishara, that alone is bifurcated into Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. That's why in Lalita Sahasranam we chant Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Swarupini, right? Sarvadhara Supratishta, Sadasat Rupadharini, right? All these are sacred powers, because without these three Shaktis we cannot accomplish anything. Even if you want to do a good thing, you require a desire to do a good thing. If you want to say serve the society and help the poor people, you should have desire to serve them, right? Now, you should have desire to earn money also, but not only to earn money, but desire to give also. A person who has desire for earning, but no desire for giving, is also useless. And imagine a person who does not have desire for earning, but has desire for giving. Such a person is also not good. We require lot of people who have desire for earning and desire for giving. Very, very important message here, right? I should not say, I have enough. I have contentment, so I don't want to earn. That is no use. I should have contentment, but I should have desire to earn and give. That is kamaha. But without kama, desire, you cannot do any spiritual sadhana. Any spiritual sadhana you can only do if you have spiritual desire, right? So even for getting moksha, you need desire for moksha, right? So therefore Lord Krishna says, don't condemn desire totally. Desire is divine. Desire is a faculty, but it must be dharmic desire. Adharmic desire we should condemn and give up, right? Very important. Dharmic desire we should revere and acquire. Panchamahayajna I can do if I have a desire to do Panchamahayajna. So Lord Krishna says, right, I am the dharmic desire nourished by, acquired by dharmic people. Therefore he says, Aham Bhuteshu Kamaha Asmi, which is called Ichcha Shakti. In fact, in Madras there are three different temples for the three different Shaktis, right? One in Trivathur, Vadivudayam, and then there are two more, right? Now they represent Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. On a Paurnami day, normally you will see that people try and visit all these three temples, right? Now, Dhanam is also a very important sadhana. Now, how can I do Dhanam without earning, right? So, very important that we must have desire for wealth, but it must have be a sacred desire that my motive is for sharing with fellow beings as well as doing Panchamahayajna. So, therefore, Lord Krishna says, Aham Kamaha Asmi, Bhuteshu, in all living beings, especially human beings. But what type of desire? Dharma viruddhav. Dharma aviruddhav. Very important, right? The sandhi here is dharma aviruddhav, right? Which is in keeping with values. He Bharatarshava. Right? That's why if you remember, in the third chapter when we read the shloka, Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha. There he said Kama is evil, right? Whereas here in this chapter Lord Krishna says Kama is divine, right? So there seems to be a contradiction. In the third chapter Lord Krishna criticized. In the seventh chapter Lord Krishna glorifies desire. So it's in there a contradiction. We will not see contradiction because when we study seventh chapter, basically, we are not seeing the seventh chapter. When we study third chapter, we are not seeing the seventh chapter. And what happens is when we see the seventh chapter, we forget the third chapter, right? But Shankaracharya remembers and brings up these points, very, very important points. So, the clarification is, in the third chapter, Lord Krishna criticizes not all desires. Lord Krishna criticizes adharmic desires, which leads to greed and so-called scams, etc. Right? So there, instead of saying this kama yesha rajoguna samudbhavaha, we should add the adjective dharma viruddha kamaha mahapapam. Right? Here we should read dharma aviruddha papam. There dharma viruddha, here it is dharma aviruddha kamaha is divine. It is mangala kamaha. Continuing.
एचैव सात्विका भावाः एचैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्चये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि Natvaham teshu temai.
The apara prakriti, otherwise called maya, right? The matter principle has threefold constituents. I hope you remember this. We saw this in Tathagata. What are the threefold constituents of the maya? Sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. Para prakriti is nirgunaha or gunatitaha, right? Whereas apara prakriti is sagunaha with three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. These three alone manifest as knowing faculty, doing faculty and resting faculty. Knowing is sattva, doing is rajas and resting is tamas, right? So, now because life involves all three, right? A lot of action is there. Karmendriyas have got doing faculty. Jnanendriyams like eyes, ears, etc. have knowing faculty. Throughout the day, we are doing all of these continuously. So, when we need to take rest, the tamasic faculty has to come to play, right? So that we may rest and be fresh for the next day. So, sleep corresponds to tamoguna and sleep is a blessing in many ways, right? It is very, very important. There are so many people who have sleep-related problems also, right? So, all three gunas are blessings, sattvic, rajasic and tamoguna, right? Now, thoughts are also divided into sattvic thoughts, rajasic thoughts and tamasic thoughts. Ignorance comes under tamasic thoughts, right? I don't know. Confusion comes under tamasic thoughts and similarly we have rajasic thoughts also. Now the sattva, rajas and tamas we are going to deal in great detail in 14th chapter and the 14th chapter is called Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Right? So now Lord Krishna wants us to come to our own mind, right? And when you come to our own mind, in the mind also, the thoughts come under which prakriti? They come under apara prakriti, right? So thoughts come under apara prakriti. So sattvika rajasa tamasa bhavya vritti, right? Bahavaha vritti, basically. Sattvika rajasa tamasa bhavya vrittyaha comes under apara prakriti. We've also got para prakriti in the same mind. What is the para prakriti in the mind? The awareness principle behind the thoughts, right? So, consciousness principle is the awareness principle, right? While thoughts are undergoing change, the consciousness remains changeless, right? Like the light pervading the hall. The tube light are the sources of light, but the light is spread all over the hall, right? The hall has got so many people also and the light spreads across all of them. So, for Vedantic meditation, generally Swamiji recommends starting with the light meditation, right? He always says, he shows his hand and then he says, what do you see here, right? People say hand, lines, everything. But what we miss is the light on the hand itself, right? Which is the principle which is assumed, because of which we are able to see other things, right? So the light principle is very, very important, right? Now, light itself does not move when the hand moves. That light illumines the hand, right? So similarly, in the mind also, the thoughts are arriving, departing. Consciousness is the non-moving, illumining principle. That is why consciousness is compared to the light of consciousness, Chaitanya Jyotihi, right? So Lord Krishna says, these sattvika, tamasa, changing thoughts are also me only. The apara prakriti me and people are lost in apara prakriti and the problem is they miss the stable para prakriti like we miss the light, right? We miss the stable para prakriti. Our problem in life is we hold on to unstable things, unstable name, fame, property, relationship, all these things we hold on for security. Apara prakriti is wonderful for experiencing beauty, novelty, right? For experiencing it is death. But when we hold on to Avara Prakriti, right, it is not stable, right? So for peace, security and happiness, you cannot hold on to Apara Prakriti. For that we should hold on to what? Para Prakriti. But humanity misses Para Prakriti and they have a problem, right? That is what is said in this shloka, the 12th shloka, which we will continue in the next class.
Purnamadat Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Hariyo, anybody has questions? Okay. You can put up the hand symbol if you have questions. Okay. Looks like nobody has any questions. Okay. At any point, if you want to send in questions to my email ID also, you can send anytime. Okay. So there are no hands up symbol and there are no questions also here. Yeah. Hari Om. Next week we are not going to be having a class on 29th December. So we will meet in the new year on 5th January, Sunday, same time. Hari Om.